our just dues. We're happy to do it. We're proud to be here. We're about to add 250 permits to the taxi cabs. That scares me to death. I've been dealing with 500. I know who my competition is. I know how many limo drivers, the other types of drivers that are in the city. I'm going to have no idea how many people are going to be out there at night working part-time, afraid to give their information to the city that I love, the city that I grew up in. I'm just about done. I've only got a couple more years to ride it through this. These kids, they love the city. They love the industry that they're in. It's a blast. It really has. I've been in there for 20 years, and I've had a great time. I hope the decisions are right. I don't understand what Uber adds to the city. I get a little emotional. My dad was a general manager at Radio Cab for 25 years back in the glory days. So I've got a lot invested in this 70 years. Thank you guys for your time. I have to admit that I thought I was going to come in and see closed ears, and it's wonderful to hear the questions and the concern that you have about our city. And please question where the money's going to go, because it's going to leave, and how we're going to fill those potholes after it leaves, I'm not sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Questions for this group? Thank you all very much. Appreciate you staying, too. Okay. Next three.
Are John Hopkins, Ed Jones, and Charlene Hill?
Okay. Any of those folks still here?
How about Megan Conway? Marianne Berlau? Sorry about that. On Southeast Arc. Okay. Stephanie White? Jim McMurray?
Carla, we may have someone from the second floor.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and come on up, and we'll take those others if they if they're on their way down.
And if folks are upstairs and are planning to testify, there are now some seats downstairs.
Welcome.
We're set. We're just waiting for the others.
So you're okay. Fine. You can go ahead.
Hi, I'm Megan Conway with Travel Portland, and here to testify. Good afternoon. Thank you for having us, and thank you for being here. Thank you for the opportunity for Travel Portland to present testimony on the recent recommendations from the Private for Hire Innovation Task Force relating to the changes in code to allow TNC companies to operate in Portland. As both a consumer of services as well as a demand generator, the travel and tourism industry is an important stakeholder in the private for hire transportation discussion. We're here today because we support the initial recommendations of the task force and want to share our industry's perspective on why it's important to consider regulatory change for Portland. Portland is known for being first in many areas, in particular areas that are related to innovation concepts and progressive policy. However, in the areas of technology and consumer choice in private for hire transportation, we have lagged and to date have not kept up with the changes in consumer demand. Our experience is that visitors and the riding public have a time-relevant expectation that the transportation service they are asking for will be reliable, consistent, and safe. Unfortunately, the current performance results in Portland have not been consistent, and performance is fair at best, as noted in the recent Eco Northwest study and the 3Q Global Survey results. Since 2010, when the last demand study was considered, there's been significant growth in the visitor industry in Portland in number of arrivals, conventions, and hotel demand. The majority of that growth represents visitors who have become accustomed to on-demand data tracking options through smartphones that allow for them to meet the needs and rate performances of service. This is something our tourism competitors have available, and we do not, and it puts us at a disadvantage. Specific to the task force, we're looking, for the reasons stated above, we're in support of the transportation network companies entering the marketplace based on the recommendations noted from the task force. We support the recommendations to encourage and promote innovation and adaptation to the changing consumer needs in private for hire transportation and allow for competition so long as the public interest is served. I know time is up. I'll just say Travel Portland continues to support the dialogue with the city and to update the regulations and changes in consumer needs while protecting the public and providing the best in consumer service and fair market competition. We seek to be an ongoing partner through the changing in these processes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate your partnership and all things about tourism. Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Jim McMurray. I'm a minister of the Seventh-day Adventist Church on the east side. In fact, I pastor a church in Boring, and so I am the Boring pastor of that Boring church.
You know our good friend George Hawker?
Yes, I do. He was on our staff before. Yes. And, you know, the other day I saw in the news that these kinds of opportunities were coming, and so I applied to be a driver. My reason was not for a second income, but it was a way that I could safely kind of keep my fingers on the pulse of our community and get acquainted with people and just be out there. I probably won't be doing this a great deal, but it's nice to have the opportunity to do this some. And you know, it's safer than hitchhiking to get acquainted with people. So I've been kind of nervous this afternoon that after my testimony today, I may not be able to baptize as many taxicab drivers, and I'm concerned about that. Anyway, thank you very much for your hard work and your thoughtfulness. This whole afternoon has been extremely enlightening to me. We moved up here about 6.5 years ago. I have a background as a paramedic and a firefighter and worked with the sheriff's department for about 20 years as their chaplain in a community out of state. But I would like to use these platforms to help people out and to get acquainted with my community, and that's kind of what I wanted to share with you all this afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks very much, and welcome. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Waldemar Amberta. I'm a union cab driver, full-time driver. So I'm just wondering, nobody mentioned about the drivers. That our Portland, city of Portland, taxi drivers, most probably 80%, more than 80% of us is immigrant. And those families has probably 3-4 kids, each individual. That's how they generate incomes. Most of our wives like stay-home mom with a kid. And the only income comes the drivers. If we put this much driver, unlimited, I mean, Uber's not going to give you a number. They're going to put as much as driver they can recruit. Those drivers not doing it full-time. As taxi driver are, we are the only job we have is driving taxi. That's our livelihood. And those people, Uber driver are like hit and run. They just, when they need cash, they just coming out, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or 1 hour. They're just going to make that $20, $30 cash. They go home. Who's going to serve this community? Behalf of that also, our income is not going to be steady. So we're going to be out in the street. Most of the taxi driver own home. Now they are talking themselves because how they going to pay their mortgage? There is no supply and demand. There is no study on it. I just want to concern you guys. I want to emphasize this. I want you to guys think about it. How many lives is going to be affected? Those, we have more than 2,200 drivers in Portland, times 4 or 5. Each has 5 family. About 6,000 people, life's going to be in danger. Because those drivers, the only job they know that. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to apply a job? There is no job. There is no education background. Most of us, like, we know the only job we know is driving taxi, making money, supporting our family. We just try to create really good citizens, our kid, to give our kid an opportunity to go to school. I'm just trying to give my kid the opportunity I never get. This was a dream life. This was a dream job because I see my kid every night. I see kid every morning since I started union. But now I'm going to lose that. I'm going to work 24 hours on the street because if I don't get enough money, I'm not going to go home. I'm not going to see my family. This is going to be a danger to the city of Portland, the industry of taxi business. I want you to consider that. Also, taxi drivers, to make extra money, if I speed, you're going to see my number. You can call to city of Portland or the police. You're going to see my number, my logo. If a driver speeds, nobody knows it. That's also, they don't have nothing you can identify. But I just want to, guys, to think about it and how many lives are going to be affected. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be chaos. I just want you guys to make a best decision for the city of Portland and the taxi industry, too. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
Okay. See if any of these people came up down from upstairs. John Hopkins, Ed Jones, Charlene Hill, or Stephanie White. Okay, so we'll go on to Jim Poorman, Anna Olasco, Lightning.
Lightning's here.
Okay. Robert Pung.
We love.
Thank you. Jackson Cafazzo. And how about Thomas Mitch, M-I-C-H?
Okay.
Here we go.
Come on up. Please, go ahead.
We're sitting in this order.
Good evening. You can go ahead, be first.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I've been hearing a lot of problems.
Just put your name in the record for us.
Oh, my name's Jim Poorman from Radio Cap. I'm a driver. I've been hearing a lot of issues on insurance. It bothers me. There's a lot of safety problems on that. I kind of recommend if we're going to have this commercial insurance that every car have a sticker on their car, commercially insured with the code number on there, just like a tag on a license plate. So it'll assure that, you know, when somebody's coming in, you know, to look at this car, they're insured. We should have it on personal cars too, down the road. But that's one of the issues, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, a long time ago about this insurance. But some of my concerns is the safety, the loss of income. There's going to be a lot of income that's going to be lost by a lot of people out there. I'm about ready to retire pretty soon. I got about 5 years, longer, I don't know yet. And my next one is, I want to know, where is the demand for these cars and cabs? Can you show us the math? I haven't seen anything or heard anything. How many cabs do we need in Portland? Now, if we have Uber coming in, they're considered as a cab, is what I'm hearing. I mean, you're getting all the regulations, you're getting the license, checking out their background and everything. That's a taxi, very much. And I'm concerned about that because there's just too many cabs. I mean, we don't need them every day. I mean, does the police, do they, when there's a riot, right, for one day, are they going to come out with thousands or 2,000 police officers every day? No, they're just going to have it for that day because they can't afford it. Common sense. And the only reason this is all being brought up is because the weekends, and you have a little concert or something, people call up, they can't get a cab. They ask me, why can't I get a cab? Why can't I get a cab? I says, it's heavy. You cannot stop it. I mean, there's just too many people. And those are at certain times. But I had some other things here to say, but I'm just going to drop that. And I thank you for letting me talk about my opinions and concerns. And I would say vote no, be safe, and smile.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Thomas Mish. I'm a former U.S. Navy Chief Petty Officer. I used to be a resident of 1132 Northeast 131st Place here in Portland, and I'm currently a resident of Clark County. I would like to personally thank you, Mayor Hale, for having this forum, because I originally came to the first task force meeting as a citizen. And I'll tell you right now, I got a dog in a fight because now I'm an Uber driver. And I can tell you for the last 50 years, I've used taxi as a commute from my place in Vancouver to doing work down here on Ankeny Street and 3rd as an insurance agent. And every day that I'd come in here, I'd spend anywhere from $70 to $90 as a round trip. So Broadway Taxi, thank you very much. Your service has been appreciated. What my thought was this, is as you know, this new technology is not embraced with open arms by traditional thinkers. The Portland Tribune has been a voice of wilderness for me for a long time, highlighting these hidden technologies. How this translates to we the people is simple and transparent. We see our experience, our public transportation routes, rerouted and killed altogether. In the last 18 years, I've owned my home, and I've seen 5 bond measures to keep my bus routes open and running. I've seen 7 bond measures for public schools. My home value has increased from $181,000 in 1991 to $295,000. My property taxes has gone up. I have higher water and sewage bills and fewer city maintenance and fewer garbage and questionable and unreliable bus schedules. And the real kicker is taxis demand higher fares and no reasonable alternatives. Then along came Uber. I had not heard of Uber, Lyft, Sidecar, prior to the article in the Oregonian about Eugene and his fines. My regular taxi company made no mention of it, and I did my due diligence and researched this TNC concept entirely. My naval career included a stint in naval analysis and intelligence. I, like others, read company overviews and its technology. I found the concept of sharing your family vehicles with your neighbors refreshing and sensible. I am not a good salesman, but I am a good listener, which is instrumental in identifying the specific mobility needs of your riders. Uber encourages asking questions and in helping disabled people feel wanted and accepted. I like that. And I ask this council to consider the ride-sharing concept to be an equal partner and a peer with both Uber, Lyft, and any other company that wants to add their dimension and help to this community. I love the Rose City. And, yeah, sure, I give 20% to Uber so that as part of my agreement. But it's the other 80% that comes right back here. In Vancouver, I can't get any news about Washington State. I get it from my home here in Portland. So Mayor Hale, the council, please consider that I can help my neighbors in a very limited way to get to where they need. 1 mile or two, I've taken groceries, and in my little Toyota Avalon Limited, I've transported over 4 people with wheelchairs to destinations to do shopping and being with friends. And I've only been in business for 60 days. Well, actually, I started February 16th. And I feel really good about myself because I am making a difference and contributing to the community as I contributed to the United States of America as a Naval Chief Petty Officer. Thank you for all you do, because I know with you guys around, my world is safe and sensible. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. You're here. Lightning, welcome.
My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. One of the concerns I have here is for the old school cab companies is that we need to look at the situation that not just the drivers also, but we need to also maintain the values of these old school cab companies that have invested a tremendous amount of money through this city. We need to understand Uber, Lyft, and other ride-sharing apps are on their way. We're talking about wheelchair access, Lyft Hero. They're going to have their app coming out pretty soon. You'll be able to hit that button and also have a health professional drive up and assist you. These are on their way right now. The reality is Uber, and I'll point to the founder, Travis Kalanick, and Garrett Camp, you've done quite well. You've gotten your unicorn status. You've gotten your decacorn status. You're on the way to become a super unicorn. That is what you value the most. In this city, you have the potential to hold the values of these local cab companies. You have the potential to offer a lot of opportunities to the drivers. You're a larger company now. You talk about becoming a statesman, being more diplomatic. Portland is the city to do that with. We've watched what you've done in other cities. We're asking you in this city to come in and make a reasonable offer to these old school cab companies, how you can hold their value at their current, at this current time, and how you can hold their value when you decide to do your IPO on either year 7 or year 8. And you have the ability to do that at this time and to raise these companies up at the same time. You don't have to come into this market and step on the local cab companies to add value to your company. You're in a position right now, you have the amount of dollars, you have the angel investors who are already backing your companies that can step up at this time and preserve the values and offer a lot of opportunities to the drivers through this city. And you can all rise at the same time. Portland is a small market. We're not a New York like 13,000 medallions at $13 billion that you're going against right now. That's a true battle, and I understand that. Portland is not that kind of market. You can come in here and have the support of the cab companies and the drivers on your side for good PR, which will add more value to your companies when you do your IPO than anything else you can do in this city. Think about it. You have the ability, you have the creative ability to do it, and you have the resources to do it at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks Thank very you. Much.
The next three are Ron Norrie, Kirk Foster, and Delilah Jones.
And you might need to call. Oh, they're all here.
Yeah.
Come on up. Welcome. Okay, good evening. Whoever's ready. Ms. Jones, are you ready? He looks
I
like he's
ready,
still
yeah.
booting up over there.
Hi, my name is Delilah Jones. I'm a driver and shareholder at Radio Cab. For the last 6.5 years, I've been driving for them. I'm a fourth-generation Oregonian. I was born and raised here in Portland proper. I wanted to thank you guys also for just such a thoughtful consideration on this really complex issue. So I have a lot of different concerns, a lot of which have already been covered. So just really briefly, you know, I think that safety is obviously the most important thing, the safety of the drivers and, of course, the citizens of our city. And there's a lot of little things that they balk that these TNCs are balking at, like fire extinguishers. What does that cost? $20? And if it saves one life, you know. Also, you know, why can't they just go and do the same thing that I have to do at the end of this month, which is pay $100 and get a background check through the city? It's a very simple process. It takes me about 30 minutes. It's a dangerous job, not because of, you know, passengers attacking people, although that has happened in the past. And, of course, cameras can help. But also it's just a lot of driving, and insurance should be absolutely mandatory under every part of their operation, not just at different parts. You know, equity, we've talked a lot about disability and the digital divide. I pick up, you know, I like to say, not everybody takes cabs, but some of everybody takes cabs, and they need to get where they need to go at any time of the day or night. I'm there to pick them up. I don't care if they have a credit card or not. I don't care if they have a smartphone. You know, I've picked up everyone from crackheads to millionaires and a couple millionaire crackheads, honestly. love you, Portland.
We're the best part of the day.
And the thing is, the city of Portland, which I love, I don't want to move, is known for supporting local small businesses. And if we allow the market to be flooded by an unlimited number of exploited elitist TNCs, and cabs become the domain of just the lower incomes, I will be forced, among others, to seek other employment, thus losing... Oh, by the way, I am the coolest cab driver in Portland, according to Barfly magazine, and there's a reason for that. I'm educated. Thank you. I'm educated, I'm passionate, and I'm knowledgeable about this city. And if I get priced out of this and it no longer becomes a job for me to do, that I can pay my student loans back, then I'm going to go get a different job, because I'm young and I'm adaptable and I'm intelligent and I'm educated. That is, you know, going to replace me with part-time cab drivers who are only vaguely supervised. They never even, you know, see a supervisor. I don't think that's good. And they're going to be forced to work longer hours to fight over scraps, and it's not safe. Basically, to sum it up, I find that Uber in particular, but the TNCs in general, are very elitist. They're exploitative of their drivers and their passengers, foisting all liability onto the driver, and they should not be above the law. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. My name is Kirk Foster. I'm owner of Wapato Shores Transport, which is one of the SAT or NEMT companies, and I'm also the SAT rep on the Private for Hire Board. Hmm. Ray and Dan DeGrange and Steve pretty much said everything I wanted to say, except for a few things, but so I'll cut it real short. But I do want to say I really appreciate the council's questions tonight. After seeing how quickly the task force went through and how there wasn't really any input from those of us that have been doing this for a while, I was discouraged at how quickly it moved. But I'm much more confident in the process now after having sat here for the last few hours and listening to all the questions you're asking. It's made me feel quite a bit better about the process and about the city in general. So I thank you for that. A couple quick things that I want to touch on that didn't get addressed already is I really think it's important that the city maintain the background check process. As a business owner,
what
the city maintain control of the background check process
background
and not submit it to auditing.
A little closer, will you? Just because we don't want to miss what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. I want to say I think it's important the city main. The primary thing I want to say is I think it's really important the city maintain control of the background check process. I have tried to use some small company or some of the online companies as a small business owner to background check drivers, and I have background check drivers myself and then had them go before the city or try it before that and had things pop from other states that were serious offenses that did not get caught. I don't know how thorough the onlines are, but the ones I have used, I have seen holes in it just with my small company, and I only have 35 employees. And so even with that limited number of recycling through, I've seen holes in the online background checks, and I don't know why. But I do. I have found them myself. And the other thing
I'd
like...
Hold that thought for a second.
Yeah.
And Steve, since we're keeping a list of issues, one of the things that I'd like to know more about is this third-party certification suggestion born of the fact that we don't have the capacity to do this? Or is it the result of the TNCs wanting to maintain the confidentiality of their drivers? And I hope it's not the latter. And if it's the former, what I'd be interested in is... what kind of capacity issue are we talking about, and is it something that the city could adapt to?
Sure. We'll have that conversation.
That's a good question. Please, continue.
The other reason I wanted to hang on to it was just not just for that, but when the drivers get their own permits, they actually have that, and that permit is valuable to the driver that they get from the city. Because if the driver isn't happy with the treatment they're receiving from whatever company, whether it be myself or one of our competitors, they can take that permit and go to another company. It leaves the drivers a lot of flexibility, which if their background check is tied to whatever company performed it, if they have difficulty with that company or they want to move, they would have to basically stop working and be unemployed for a while while they wait for somebody else to do a background check. So I think it's important that the drivers be allowed to maintain control of their own permits by having it issued by the city and not having it controlled by whatever company they work for. And when I mentioned the process, just a few real brief... Okay, all this and stuff.
Please, go ahead.
Just a few brief things. I want to say, like, I think that the task force rushed things too much by not talking to a lot of people. But just two little points that just I think are good examples of a lot of the recommendations. Are they recommended lowering the taxi cap to 15 vehicles? But how can you provide 24-hour service with 15 vehicles when you figure a good two-thirds of your fleet have to be off the road for service at any given time? It just wasn't thought out to drop it down to that level. Another thing about dropping the fire extinguishers. Fire extinguishers are rarely used because car fires are kind of rare. Just like car insurance is statistically rarely used because car accidents are statistically rare. But that doesn't mean we're going to – well, actually, maybe we are. But I don't think we should lower the – I think the fire extinguisher is the same kind of thing. We shouldn't lower the bar simply for these new companies to come in. Well, I kind of lost my train of thought there, and I do apologize. But essentially, I think there needs to be a level playing field. When I started my business, I had to mortgage my house to afford the commercial insurance, and I don't see any reason why anybody else should just be able to skip through without it.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening. Mayor Hells and members of the Portland City Council. My name is Ron Canori, president of EcoCab, the city's newest zero-emission taxi company. My business address is 3250 Northwest Yonge Avenue in Portland. Thank you for accepting public testimony on this important topic. It seems just yesterday that I appeared before you requesting licenses for my environmentally friendly cabs. Just before you approved those licenses, you asked if I was prepared for a tough competitive marketplace that could include giant companies like Uber and Lyft. I told you then, and I'm back today, saying if you create a level playing field, I am more than up to the challenge. Commissioner Novick best described the level playing field I envision when he wrote, "It is critical that the city provide necessary safeguards and standards to protect consumers, ensure accessibility for all, and allow for a fair competitive market for drivers and companies across all sectors of the industry." However, the inconvenient truth is that despite some very thoughtful work, the task force report contains serious flaws and will not protect the riding public, encourage a fair market, or ensure accessibility at all. Here are 4 points. The unlimited dumping of TNC fleets into our community will not create a free market, but a free-for-all market. There will be little ability to control vehicle safety, driver qualifications, or pricing. A better solution would be to use phase one as a controlled experiment to impose a reasonable cap, say 100 TNC vehicles per entrant. 2, dynamic pricing. This is a clever marketing term used by TNCs to hide price gouging and surging. Allowing this is a detriment to consumers and unfair. A better solution would be to establish uniform rates that apply to all TNCs and taxis. 3, fleet accessibility must be non-negotiable. Allowing TNCs to contract away the responsibility externalizes the cost onto the rest of the market. This puts every taxi company at a distinct disadvantage. A better solution would be to require the TNCs to provide accessibility services or pay an accessibility default penalty. 4, driver licensing insurance and compliance sections must be made equivalent for taxis and TNCs. Penalties accrued or incurred for noncompliance of or flaunting the disregard of rules in this community must lead to expensive and swift justice. In conclusion, a lot of goodwill and thought has went into this report. I applaud the City Council, staff, and volunteer task force for their best efforts. However, this report, as is, undermines the transportation industry's goals to be fair, accessible, and consumer-oriented. I respectfully urge that you accept the best work of this report and improve the parts that are flawed.
Sir, I have a request.
Yes, sir.
Because you were very specific about changes you want us to consider and essentially amendments, would you mind emailing that to us or emailing it to Carla so she can furnish us with your testimony?
Certainly.
That'd be very good. Thank you.
And I believe you might have already gotten some of that.
Oh, is it in here already?
I believe I've already given it.
It's in the packet?
Just in case, why don't you belt and suspenders and email it to us, please. Okay, we've got copies. Yeah.
Sir,
one way or another, it's in here.
That's great, but just as maybe if you emailed it, we'd have a backup.
I will certainly get that to you as soon
great.
As possible.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
sir. Can I just ask you a question about, you said that if we open the doors up, there won't be a free market, it'll be a free for all market. But don't we have a free for all market for most things in this country? I'm not saying that this is good or bad, but do you think that we should regulate the number of grocery stores and the cost of groceries and regulate the number of gas stations and the cost of gas and regulate the number of coffee shops and the cost of coffee? And I'm asking that as a serious question. I mean, what I'm having a hard time figuring out is why this industry is different from all other industries in requiring regulation of the number of participants and the prices.
Actually, what I asked was that I asked that during phase one, in this controlled experiment that they have a limit, just like cab companies have a limit. That's all I'm asking is for the same treatment for cab companies and transportation network companies and see how it goes. I'm pretty sure transportation network companies can afford it. So,
well, I would also say, Steve, that for me, it's not so much the philosophical argument of deregulation, it's how you deregulate. And I am reminded that a precipitous deregulation of the airline industry almost killed it. And it does seem to me that one of the constant refrains is not so much we resist technological innovation or change, but let's have a transition period that is fair to all parties. And one of the concerns that I have is that while we have said that a level playing field is a paramount virtue, we are essentially rolling the dice in a way that seems to me there could be conspicuous winners and losers, and some of the losers may be people that play by the rules that we established, and that by changing the rules, we put them at a disadvantage. That's the thing I'm struggling with. And that's different from whether philosophically or ideologically we think we should regulate.
Well, I think that there's different issues. But, I mean, I think that some people have testified have suggested that there needs to be a cap. There needs to be price regulation. Not everybody is sort of conceded that those two things will go away. And I think that that's an issue worth wrestling with. And if the idea is that those two things will go away, but we need to work towards that in a transitional period, that's a different question from are we going to continue to have these caps and price regulation forever?
Yeah, I agree with that. But for example, we wouldn't say that in the name of transition to deregulation, let's suspend our health and safety laws just to see what the marketplace bears, because we've learned that the marketplace is not always the most equitable distributor of our values. I have a concern about how we transition this so that, again, people who play by the rules under a new regime where we're trying to level the playing field aren't at such a disadvantage that we might as well actually just, you know, find a way of just compensation for people that we are likely to fail in this rather than assume that we're creating a level playing field, because I have a hard time imagining this as being very level.
So, Deb, are you... do I take that to mean that you're open to the idea of phasing out the caps and the price regulation ultimately, as long as we do it slowly and carefully?
Well, actually, I've heard from a number of people from the taxi industry who said they would embrace change as long as we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And what is that balance? I'm not sure what it is because I've not been a regulator. And I have actually... I've heard more from people tonight that don't regulate and probably not enough from people who have historical experience regulating. But that's the question for me. And I haven't actually heard people completely... I think people accept that technology is bringing change, but I think they want us to manage the transition of change wisely. And I think some of those questions about timing, what kind of insurance, what are some of the baseline standards, even down to whether someone should have a fire extinguisher, I think those are serious things we have to grapple with as a on the path to change.
Thank you.
Commissioner Novick, may I speak to your question?
Please.
So I think a major part of the reason that there are caps, and this is a bit of a speculation on my part, I'm not a regulator either, but is that taxi cabs are generally considered to be part of the larger transportation network for the public. And so we kind of subsidize in this way for taking care of the underserved, you know, people with disabilities, people, you know, in the middle of the night when TriMet is not operating, you know, people still need to get to work. And so in order to sort of balance out the fact that there's going to be people who have very not lucrative fares, we kind of cap the number so as to raise the income of the cab drivers to a manageable point.
Well said.
Thank you. Sure, I've finally come up with another industry that caps, and that's city council members. There's a cap and a fixed price.
Touche.
Touche.
I move to close this hearing.
Commissioner, that's a good point. I think we should have an unlimited number of city council members.
God help us all. Thank you very much.
Can we take a 30-second break and just get a sense of
let's yeah, let's take a pause. Thank you very much. Let's see how many folks are still here. Maybe just a show of hands of those who are still signed up and planning to speak. So it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 maybe. So we might be able to make that work.
Sure.
Let's keep going. Next three.
We'll take Eileen Brown.
By the way, folks, that happens regularly at these hearings. Strange women come up to Steve, embrace him, and then go back in. That's
Yeah, we're all jealous.
It's called charisma, and the rest of us just don't have it.
Eileen Brown, Daniel J. Shearer, Jeff Walsh, Frederick M. Jacobson, David Gibson, Chris Ames, Guy Ocker.
Okay, got three.
John is locked out outside.
Uh-oh, locked out. Downstairs? Oh, we'll make sure that the doors are still open. Okay, thank you. Good evening.
Hello.
Go ahead.
My name is David Gibson, and a lot has been said about protecting the little guy, about protecting people's income. I'm an Uber driver. I did the time here when Uber was working here, and Portland was fantastic. My first rider hugged me and said, "Welcome to Portland." I was a little, "Hey, wait." I'm a single father and a Marine Corps veteran. My mother, who is 74, lives with me, and we have no other sort of support. I'm making the best I can in this world. Uber's doing pretty well for me. On occasions when there's been an issue where a rider complained that the ride was too long, it wasn't true, Uber said, "Forget it, we'll just give you both the money and we'll just take it and run with it." When Salem was free for a while, Uber was just paying the drivers to give people free rides just to get on board, and has time and time again showed that they are very loyal to their drivers. I've had no problems in 6 months of having worked with Uber, of receiving anything less than one dime than what I've earned. I've worked in Salem, Eugene, and Portland in the Portland metro area, and I have a 95% approval rating on 1,500 rides. This is the only thing I do. It's my only job. I could, in theory, go work for one of the cab companies. They're better than they used to be, but they used to have a horrible reputation. I wouldn't have before I applied for one, and my friends talked me out of it. In the 80s and 90s, it was not a good place to go. I'm sure they're much different than they were back then, but those days they just didn't want to. At any rate, that's I'm trying to put a personal face on our side of it. We didn't get a lot of people come out, but overwhelmingly, literally 2,000 people have sat in my car and told me how much they love Uber. When we were leaving Eugene, the cab companies went to the college students at the University of Oregon and said, "What can we do to compete with Oregon? What can we do to get you back?" And a lot of the college kids, and this was relayed anecdotally to me, said, "Nothing. You've lost our trust. We don't like you. We like them." And that's a significant portion of the population. They don't care what the cab companies do. They've made their choice. They want to ride with Uber.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening. Not good afternoon, but good evening.
Yes, it is.
Do you think we're going to make it out of here before midnight? Or I don't know, we'll see. My name is Guy Ocker. I live in Scappoose, Oregon, and I am proud to be an Uber driver. I cannot wait to come into the city of Portland and serve the citizens of Portland, Oregon. I just wanted to make that clear. A couple things I wanted to just cover here that I've heard. We've heard from several cab people that Uber and Houston and this, all these things happen, and they have happened. But I just want to make it clear. The cabbing industry here in Portland, they do good, but they're not total angels either. They've had their issues. A couple of things I want to say is, remember the radio cab driver that almost killed the DJ in front of the Jupiter Hotel? I don't know the specifics of these instances, but these things happen, and they were distracted drivers. Okay?
No, please let
that
us
That was
let
a medical
speak.
Incident.
Go ahead.
The green cab driver killed the ice skater's mother over by the airport was involved in a horrible crash there. Then, just recently, rather recently, this wasn't a crash, but it was an incident. The Broadway cab driver that kicked out the gay couple on I-84 because he didn't like them and just kicked them out of the cab. Those are three instances that happened in the Portland. So I just want to make sure, you know, they've had their issues here in Portland. One thing, and this is why I can't wait to serve the citizens, is we have a big drunk driving problem here, specifically in Portland, okay? People lose their lives. We could sit here all night and debate on this, but one reason why I think there's a high drunk driving problem here in Portland is because we can't get cabs. It's hard to get a cab. Have you ever tried hailing a cab on the entertainment district? You know, on a Saturday night, it's extremely hard, if not impossible. So let's go back to the evening where that one gentleman drove up on the sidewalk and killed the girl somewhere. It was near Northwest Portland. I'm not sure the address, but we remember that instance. Maybe if we had Uber here and Lyft, more drivers on the road, maybe that driver would have chosen to go on an Uber and get home safely and not kill that girl. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I have a question for the two Uber drivers. Did Uber tell you that you could be putting your own personal car insurance at risk by driving for them? Are you aware that your personal coverage could be canceled if your company knows that you're driving commercially?
No, they have not. They have not told me that, no.
Do you have commercial? Do you have, other than your own insurance?
No.
You don't have supplementary insurance?
No.
And do you know that likely means that the passengers that you pick up would not be covered in the event you were involved in an accident?
It is explained to me they would be under Uber's million-dollar policy. But one thing I have noticed is there are insurance companies who are getting on board with this Uber. They're rolling with the change, like, hey, this is happening, and there's companies out there that will insure us.
So I really appreciate your steadfastness in staying here for this hearing and also your courage in speaking up. I just want you to know that if your current company finds out that you're driving commercially, there's you could be at risk for losing your insurance.
Oh, and that's fine, and I'm fully prepared to do that. However, I will choose a company that will honor the Uber, and there are companies out there that will.
Yeah, I would suggest that you might want to do that sooner rather than later.
Okay.
Quickly on that same issue, when I used to, years ago, drive for Pizza Hut, we had the same issue. And every person that drives anything, delivery, any number of things, there are some companies that if you do professional types of driving, even so, because I used to deliver fire trucks, SWAT trucks, UPS trucks, stuff like that, there was some issues whether if you were that kind of commercial driver, if you needed to declare that to your insurance company. It's a very complicated industry, and it, like all of us, needs to catch up with the times and be a little more fair and transparent. I mean, a lot of these problems are insurance industry problems where they're trying to
No one is here to be an apologist for the insurance industry, but I think all five of us are sincerely interested in knowing what's the minimum amount of insurance that protects the driver, the passenger, and the public. And that's a public policy question, and that's not – the answer to that doesn't turn on whether we demonize Uber drivers or cab company drivers. That's a pure public policy question about how we protect people in the event something bad happens. And I think that's still an unresolved issue for us, figuring out what should be those minimums. And I think if we have any role in government, it's to make sure that there are minimum levels so that people are safe when they are involved in that kind of commercial transaction.
Maybe I'm hearing this wrong, but I think that's been – maybe I missed something, but I think it's been covered today. I mean, you know, there's a representative from Uber here that came up and answered those questions about the insurance, so I don't –
We have work to do on those details.
Apparently we do, or yeah. You do.
We sure do. Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Frederick Jacobson. I have been an owner-operator with Radio Care for about 9 years now. I could sit here and sling mud, but mud can be slung both ways. My concern is, at the fast pace that everything is moving, the right protections might or might not be overlooked. What I consider a car-sharing company or a ride-sharing company would be like Car2Go or Zipcar, where it is actually driven by multiple people, not a company that I own my vehicle. I paid $23,000 for my last one 2 years ago. In another less than a year, I'm going to have to replace it. That's the average life expectancy of the cab. I have a lot vested in the community here. I spend about $1,000 in just permit fees a year with the city of Portland to have that cab on the road. And I am concerned about passengers with American disabilities who may or may not be able to get rides in Uber or Lyft, even sometimes our own cabs where it takes too long. But I know as an owner, I have always given that effort to go forth. But now I'm seeing competition coming in, and basically I've heard taxi free fall for the next 4 months for two companies that come in who do not take cash, who could put me physically out of business in 4 months if it isn't done slowly and wisely. And what's going to happen to those customers out there who don't have credit and who do pay cash when I go under or I can't afford to be on the road in my full-time job, which I've chosen? And that's who I'm concerned about, is ultimately the customer. Because one way or the other, I'm going to survive, and I'm a survivor. But there's people out there who need our help, and that's part of what regulation has done over the years, is to make sure that everybody gets the help that they need. Everybody, even if it took 2 hours to get an ADA person, which is totally unacceptable, they still got the cab, and they still got that person out there. And what I'm concerned about is not just going under and losing my livelihood, but in the progression and as fast as things are going and things are not being looked at in a wisely or might not be looked at in a wisely effort, that the people who are the most vulnerable are going to be out there not being able to be helped because the taxi industry won't be here. We're going to survive one way or the other. We'll adapt. And I'm all for competition. It makes us better. And I can say in the last several months, it has made us better. It has made our response times better. It has made management more aware that we have issues and they're not as sluggish as they used to be to go after somebody who has done something inappropriate or something that isn't quite up to what RadioCab considers proper standards. And I'm not saying we're totally innocent. We're not. But I can say we are here, and we do service everybody. And with the companies that come in, if you damage a working model, and I've been all over the state, and I can honestly say, and I'm ashamed of it, I grew up in Albany, New York, upstate New York, where Uber isn't there. But if they were, as a cab driver, I probably would call them. The cab service up in that section of the country is awful.
Thank you.
However, here it isn't. And if you damage it, who are going to help the people that they will not because they don't accept the cash? I'm asking for you all is to sit down and look at everything. And then wisely, in your wisdom, pick out the best options, be it the insurance issue, be it the ADA issues, be it how we can all improve everything so we can welcome the new technology to come in without killing something that is vibrant at this time. And
well said.
That's all I got to say. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there a David Gibson or Chris Ames?
I was David Gibson.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And we'll go with Kevin Narotny, Sean Baroni, or Batoni, sorry, Chris Han. How about Mukhtar Abdal?
Okay, got all three. Good evening. Welcome. You can go ahead and start.
Hey, my name's Chris Han, and I kind of feel like the peon on the street. So, and I'm not a potential driver. I use a cab about four times a year, and the last two times the experience wasn't good. About 3 weeks ago, I called a cab. I needed a cab as soon as possible, and I was on hold for 15 minutes before the dispatcher came online. I was picked up on time after that, and I asked the cab driver if it was a busy night, and he said, not particularly, and I said, well, I was on hold for 15 minutes, and he said, well, that's because they laid off dispatchers because they have an app now. Last November, I booked a cab a couple of days in advance and even called that morning, actually, to reconfirm it, and they no-showed me. And after half an hour, I called them again, and they said, well, it's very busy, and it was raining, and it would be another half an hour. And after another half an hour, I called them again, and that happened three times, and then I called and canceled because I had missed dinner. In San Francisco, on two different trips, I used them three times, and it was seamless. It was instant and seamless. I have a neighbor who is 83 years old. She can't drive at night and probably shouldn't drive at all. She has stated that she would give up her car if she could have an on-call service at a reasonable rate. I live in a dense neighborhood that's full of new apartments with no parking, meaning there's 56 units and maybe 11 parking spaces. Not all of these residents ride bikes or are able to use mass transit to commute. And so looking ahead, I see more and more need for transportation, be it taxis, be it a ride share. My experiences with ride share have been awesome. And as for fares being equitable, I agree with Mr. Novak that airlines don't cost the same. Hot dogs don't cost the same. Your cleaners don't cost the same. Jobs and businesses do change. Jobs go overseas. We don't have ice deliveries anymore. We don't have milkmen, but maybe very, very limited. Streetcars come, they go, and now they're back. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, fellow council commissioners. My name is Kevin Novotny. I am an Uber driver is one of the many jobs that I have. I'm also a line worker up in St. John's. And I joined Uber in order to make some extra money and in order to use my brand new car that I bought 6 months ago and help myself maintain my livelihood. And I find, you know, I have family in the Seattle area who have also used the Uber service, and they find it to be a great way to get around, and they like the individuality of it, to have someone else come to your come to you and pick you up in their own car. And you know, I feel like Portland is all about individuality. You know, that's why I love living here. I've been here for 3 years, and I feel like Uber can, you know, can definitely add to it. I know that the cab companies definitely have brought on some negative feedback on Uber, but you know, I'm just trying to make my own way here, and you know, hopefully Uber can provide me to ensure my financial future in the